invite you to turn to Joshua chapter 1 if you have your Bible. If you don't, there is a black pew Bible somewhere along the hymn book racks on your row. You can get somebody to pass that down to you or grab it out. And we're going to turn to the sixth book in the Old Testament, the book of Joshua. We have been doing a study on the nation of Israel, really following them on their trek as they left Egypt back in the beginning of the book of Exodus. As they exited Egypt, left that land of bondage, and God took them out and brought them into a wilderness. There in that wilderness, we found that they learned many lessons, and how thankful we are that God preserved those lessons, not just for them. God cared about those people. He really did. He cares about all of His creation. He cares about each individual. He cares about you. And God cared about each of them, and He had lessons for them to learn because He wanted them to know Him. He wanted them to grow in Him. He wanted them to have a relationship with Him. And so God taught them lessons through a wilderness experience, and God also allows each of us to go through a wilderness. He allows us to learn lessons as well, and we can look back in the Old Testament, and we find that these things were written there, according to Romans 15:4, written for our learning. In other words, God looked down through the ages, and He saw you sitting here, sees you reading your Bible alone at home, or maybe at work, or somewhere else, and God intends His Word to speak to your heart individually and personally. And so He has lessons here for you and for me as we go through the Old Testament. And we follow the nation of Israel through the wilderness, a land of barrenness. But you know, in the time of barrenness are times that we can learn great lessons from God, and I hope that we have as we've done this study. And now we're on the very edge of the promised land, and that's going to be a land of great blessing. God had promised that way back to Abraham. He promised it to Isaac and to Isaac's son Jacob, and He promised it to the nation of Israel. Now He has brought them out of Egypt, brought them through 40 years in the wilderness, and brought them to this land of blessing. But we also find from a study of the book of Joshua, where we're just beginning, we find that this land was not only a land of blessing, but it was also a land of battles. Land of battles. We have considered together in recent Sunday mornings when I've spoken about the land of Canaan, the promised land, and how many folks think of that as heaven. But heaven's not going to be a land of battles. It will be a land of great blessing, the greatest. But here on this earth, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior can actually experience the spiritual equivalent of the Old Testament material promised land, Canaan. It's a land of blessing. And over in Ephesians chapter 1, we've referred several times to the book of Ephesians as the New Testament counterpart to the Old Testament book of Joshua, where the nation of Israel was going into the promised land to possess the blessings that God had promised to them. We read in Ephesians 1 and verse 3 that those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, those who have been saved, born again, forgiven of their sins, brought into a relationship with God by grace through faith, not of yourself, that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. And Paul spoke there in chapter 3 of Ephesians. He said, I'm preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. You'll never get to the end of it. You'll never get to the bottom of it. But what a joy to experience the blessings which God pours out upon us. Let's begin, if we could, again by reading the first 9 verses of Joshua chapter 1. I'll be reading from the King James Version. You can follow along with me in whatever version you have. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses.
from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast or border. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. Here was God's message to Joshua. Joshua had a responsibility. He was taking over for Moses in a position of leadership among the nation of Israel. And among those people, he was to lead them in to the promised land. In many ways, Joshua is a picture to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we find a message coming from God, the Lord, to Joshua, and here we see that this message was not for him only, but also for the people of Israel. And so we find the parallel to our own lives. Again, we can go to Ephesians chapter 1 through 3, and we see great blessings. And then we go on in Ephesians chapter 4 through 6, and we see great battles. And here, Joshua is told three times, I want you to be strong and courageous. Strong and courageous. And what would the result of that strength and courage be? It would be, as we read here, prosperity and success. In other words, God wants you to be prosperous. God wants you to be successful. Success is defined as the prosperous or favorable outcome of endeavors. Now, you know, it's natural for every one of us as human beings to desire to be prosperous, to desire to be successful in a material, physical way. It's very natural to desire a material comfort, to desire a life that's trouble-free, to be able to enjoy life. Well, that's natural for us to want those things. And you know, God desires that His people would be successful and prosperous. But that success and that prosperity, as we've already seen, is according to His definition. And His definition of success and prosperity is oftentimes different than what ours is. And unfortunately different from what many preachers claim it is. You know, there is much going around today and has been for a number of years, often referred to as the prosperity gospel. And that gospel says if you will come to the Lord Jesus, God will give you everything you want. He doesn't want you to be sick, and He doesn't want you to be short on money, and He doesn't want you to have problems in your life. And if you have those problems and you don't have that money or wealth or health, it's because you don't have enough faith. And God is under obligation to you that if you name it and you claim it, God's got to give it to you if you believe. You know, oftentimes people go into the Old Testament and they see the great blessing that God poured out on men like Abraham and David and Solomon. And they say, well, God wants every believer to be, in the Lord Jesus to be rich and to be healthy. Well, that's not the teaching of the New Testament. As we come into the New Testament, we see the Lord Jesus coming to this earth, a man who had nowhere to lay his head, a man who only owned the clothing that he wore, and that was taken from him at his crucifixion. And we see the followers of the Lord Jesus, those who were committed to him, we see them going without. And Paul said, I know what it is to not have anything He said, I know what it is to have what I need, to have more than I need, but I also know what it is not to have enough, as the world would see it. But Paul said, you know what? I've learned in whatever situation I find myself, I've learned to be content. And we've looked at that. And we've seen from the book of Philippians that Paul said, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. And that's how I can be content. You see, God's concern for you is not that you be rich, not even that you be comfortable materially. Now, I'm not saying that God won't bless you with that. He may choose to. But God's main concern is a spiritual prosperity, a spiritual success. God is much more concerned that you enjoy His blessing of peace in your life than He is the blessing materially that you may enjoy. God is much more concerned that you know a true joy in your heart that is not dependent on the circumstances of life. He's much more concerned about that than He is that you are healthy physically. God cares for you. He loves you. He wants what's best for you. And oftentimes, those people who walk with the Lord Jesus, who were going into that promised land to possess the possessions that God has given, to take hold of the blessings of God's goodness and grace and mercy, oftentimes those people have great troubles in life. And you saw some of the children in that DVD just a while ago. And you know, some of those children come to know the Lord Jesus, and they have a deep joy and peace in their little hearts, but they still aren't any better off materially. And a little gift that you might send is a wonderful blessing to them. It means so much. Something very small. God may not bless you with great riches. God may not bless you with wonderful health. But God says, I have provided for you, I've already given for you these wonderful spiritual blessings that are yours to enjoy in the Lord Jesus. But Joshua, you got to go get them. And the first action point we saw was that we've got to get up and go. We've got to make that commitment. The second thing we've looked at as we've considered this thought of being successful on a journey is to be strong and courageous. Three times God commanded Joshua, be strong and courageous. And we're reminded that it's difficult to possess those spiritual possessions. Why? Because there are enemies and there are obstacles. And so we've got to be strong. We've got to be firm. We've got to be committed. And we've got to be courageous. We've got to be brave and bold in the strength of God to go forth and take those great blessings. We saw last time that we need strength and courage for God's purpose, because God, as He had a purpose for Joshua, lead this people into the land that they can possess that, He's got a purpose for you. Secondly, we're going to see in verses 7 and 8 that we need strength and courage according to God's pattern. Go back to verses 7 and 8. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. God says you need strength, you need commitment, you need courage, you need boldness if you're going to enjoy the blessings spiritually that God has poured out for you and provided for you and given to you. If you're going to really experience those, you need strength and courage that you might fulfill your purpose according to the pattern of God. In other words, we need to be right in the way that we achieve God's purpose for us. So in order for us to be right, God said, here's a pattern. I'm going to give you a pattern. I want you to follow the pattern. Some of you ladies know how to sew. Maybe you know how to quilt. And you know that when you do that, and some of you are just really amazing, you take it, you don't even have a pattern. But probably when you start it out, and oftentimes when you make something new, you take a pattern and you go and you cut and you sew according to that pattern. If you don't do that, and my wife and daughter are, along with some of the other ladies here and other ladies, are learning how to quilt. And if they go in and don't follow the pattern, the end result is not going to be what they intended for it to be. Wake up, guys. You're not sewing, but you probably know about a pass pattern, right, in the football game. And you know what? If the guy is going out for a pass and the quarterback's called a play, supposed to run a certain pattern, And maybe it's a down and out pattern. Well, if he follows a different pattern and he goes down and in, the quarterback throws the ball where the down and out is supposed to be. And the ball gets there, but the receiver gets over here. You got to follow the pattern. If you don't do it according to the pattern, you're not going to get the desired result. There's not going to be success if you don't go according to the pattern. Now, you may be very successful financially. You may be very successful educationally. You may be very successful in your occupation. You may be very successful in a lot of areas of life. But if you want to enjoy the spiritual blessings that God is saying, this is most important, this is what I want for you, then you've got to live your life according to God's pattern. And we find His pattern in His Word. Here He's talking there to Moses, to Joshua, but He says there, I want you to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. In other words, I gave him my Word. Now, at that time, they didn't have all the Scriptures like we do. We got the completed Word of God. God has told us what He wants us to know. So we've got all of this by which to live our lives in order to be truly successful, enjoying the blessings that God has given to us spiritually, no matter what our outward circumstance is. But notice what He says there. Only be thou strong and very courageous, verse 7, that thou mayest observe to do according to how much of the law? All of the Word of God. You know, all Scripture, we read in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All Scripture, all of the Word of God. Well, I get kind of bogged down over here in Ezekiel, and I'm sure not going to take any time to read Leviticus, but God says, you know, that's for you too. And there's blessing there, as well as there is in other books of the Bible. All of the Scripture, we should seek to take all of it and know it, because it's all given by God. It's all breathed out by Him. And He tells him, Joshua, don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever you go. If you're going to have success spiritually, you can't be swerving away to the right or swerving away to the left. My wife's saying, it sounds like you're driving down the road. Sometimes I swerve to the right and swerve to the left, but I'm always, you know, she said it's my guardian angel. Maybe it is. I don't know, but the Lord protects me. And last night, I'll just pause for a moment here. Mark Armfield and I had gone on a journey. Not last night. We were coming back last night from Indiana, a soccer tournament our sons were playing in. And we got on the West Virginia Turnpike. And, you know, it costs like $2 every time you go through one of those tolls. And so, thankfully, it was real wee hours of the morning by then. And Mark said, you know what? I just paid $2. I'm going to use the whole road. So he was swerving, you know, left lane, right lanes. I paid for the whole road. I'm not going to just get part of the road. So he was swerving to the left or the right, but we were okay. He didn't go off the road. It was all heading in the same direction, thank the Lord. And we made it back. And I praise Him for that. Don't swerve to the left or the right. We might say, well, what's on the left? What's on the right? You know, as you go down the path of life and you're following the Scriptures, you're following what God says in His Word, as you go down that path, there's always the temptation to bear a little bit off here to the left and swerve off of this narrow path that God has given, because there are always some other ideas and other opinions, other philosophies on how to really be successful and prosperous in life. You know, you probably got some opinions of your own. And this world has plenty of patterns that you can follow in order to be successful, what it means to be successful in life. God says, don't veer away from what I am telling you in the Scripture. Just because another way seems more convenient or easier or more popular, might be the broad road that leads to destruction, to waste. If there's a way that seems more practical or more sensible, God says, you stay on this path of my Word and you will find spiritual success. You will enjoy these spiritual blessings that I am giving to you, but only as you stay online. And so if I'm going to do according to all the Word of God and not turn to the right or the left, what does that tell me? It tells me I need to know the Word, right? Or I'm not going to know if I'm veering off. Because there's going to be somebody standing over here and they're going to say, hey, let me tell you what God says. If I don't know what God says, I might believe that person. They might lie to me. They might mislead me. I need to know what the Word of God is. I've got to know His Word. And as I know His Word, that strengthens and encourages me to do what He wants me to do. I've got to know His Word. If I'm going to know it, well, God gives some insight here to Joshua on knowing His Word. He tells him there in verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." If you're going to do it, then you got to know it. If you're going to know it, it's got to be consistently, first of all, in your mouth. Secondly, it's got to be chewed on in your mind and your heart. It needs to be in your mouth. He had already told them back in the book of Deuteronomy. He said, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." He said, "I want you to embrace them." Deuteronomy 11, verse 18, "Lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul." Deuteronomy 30, "The word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it." God said, "I want you to embrace the Scripture, and I want you to have it in your mouth. I want you to talk about it." When's the last time you talked with somebody about something in the Word of God? How frequently do you do that? You know, it can be helpful as we read the Word of God sometime to read it out loud. Helps us pay attention, doesn't it? Some situations you can't do that. Other situations you can. You can talk about it to other people. You can share it. You can discuss it. You can talk to God about it. God wants you to come to Him and tell Him how much you appreciate His Son. You find out how much you appreciate His Son here in the Scripture. He wants you to come and He wants you to pour out your heart to Him. He wants you to say, "Lord, I'm reading the book of Joshua, and Lord, I'm having trouble understanding it. Lord, it says to be strong and courageous. How do I do that? Lord, help me to do it. I want to be obedient to You. Lord, You tell me to be strong and courageous, and I'm struggling with that. Lord, I'm weak, and I'm fearful." Talk to the Lord about it. Go over it, repeat the Scriptures, apply them to every situation of your life, and that just carries us into that thought of meditating on the Scripture. Meditating day and night. When you don't have to think about your work, when you don't have to think about some specific responsibility, where does your mind go? What do you think about? Maybe it's football, maybe it's love, maybe it's something else, I don't know. Maybe it's God's Word. And if we could train ourselves to come back to the Word of God, when we have time, that our mind is not to be tied up in another responsibility, where our minds can focus on the things of God and particularly the Word of God, what do we think about? What we think about and we meditate on, bring over in our minds, things that we like, things that we love, things in which we delight. That's what we often think about. Here's what the psalmist says. Psalm 119 and verse 97. He's talking to the Lord about His Word. Hey, that's what we were saying. "Oh, how I love Thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Oh, Lord, I love Your Word. And you know what? We know we love His Word when we think about His Word. Because we want to do that. If you love a person, you think about them. If you love a sport, you think about it. If you love a hobby, you think about it. If you love God's Word, you think about God's Word. And you meditate on God's Word. And that's what God desires for us to do. Well, you might say, "Well, how can I develop that love for the Word of God? I want to love it like that, but I really don't. You know, my mind goes everywhere but the Word of God when I have some free time. How can I develop that love for the Word?" Well, you develop love for the Word just like you develop a love for a person. You spend time with it. As you spend time with that person, you get to know that person. You get to know the Word of God. You learn the Word of God, and then as you begin to read the Word of God more and think on the Word of God, you begin to appreciate it, and you begin to see how God takes a verse and helps you through a situation in your life. Or He takes a truth from the Scripture, and just when you come up against a problem, He brings that to your mind, or another Christian reminds you of that, or you go to your devotions one morning, and it's just what you need for that day. Now, that may not happen like that every day. But when it does, you say, Lord, thank you for your word. Your word truly is alive and powerful, and yes, it pierces down into my heart. You're going to love the word of God more as you learn it and as you test it. Try it out. If God tells you to do something, you do it and see what happens. You're obedient to God. You trust God. See what happens. See if God doesn't use that in your life to encourage you and strengthen you. Get to know the Word of God. Develop a love for Him. Now, that's going to require a commitment. It's going to require a commitment. Andy and Sharon stood up here, 45 years of marriage. They love each other. I would dare say that they love each other more today than they did 45 years ago when they said, I do. If that's wrong, Andy and Sharon, y'all can tell me later, but I'm convinced it's true because they spent time with each other. They got to know each other. They've developed that love for each other, but it started out with a commitment. I do. I will. They made that promise and they lived that promise. Doesn't mean it's always been easy, as it hadn't been with any of our marriages. They're two people, real people, but we make a commitment. And here's what the psalmist said about that. Psalm 77, verses 1 and 2. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doing. Psalm 119, verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. You notice what he says? I will. I will. And tomorrow morning when I don't feel like it, I will. And Tuesday evening when I've committed to spend some time in the Word of God and there's something better on, or something, not better, something attractive on television, but I said I'm going to do this, I will. In other words, I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to spend time in the Word of God. And I will take God at His Word. I'm going to believe Him. And I will apply to my life something that I'm reading. I will. I'm going to make a commitment. Lord, by Your strength, I can't do it. I'm weak. But Lord, You are strong. And Your strength is made perfect in my weakness. What a great combination. Lord, I'm weak and You're strong. Father, enable me to do what I am seeking to commit to do. Joshua, do you want to be successful in this endeavor to go in and possess the blessings that I've given to you? Joshua would say, yes. I'm sure he'd say, yes. Then you're going to have to be meditating on my word. You're going to have to do that. In order to do what I'm giving you to do, you're going to have to do it according to my word. So you've got to know my word. You've got to meditate on it. Not just in the day. I want you to meditate on it at night too. Joshua, whenever you can, I want you thinking on the Scripture. I want you to do that. You know, we've been encouraging one another this calendar year to spend time at the feet of the Lord Jesus. To spend time every day in the Word and in prayer. And I hope that that's had an impact. Some of you have shared the impact that it's had on your life, and that's such an encouragement. I hope all of us are stepping that up. We're getting down toward the end of the year, spending that time with the Lord, hearing His voice, going into His Word, finding Him there and finding His truth there for us, spending that time. But, you know, not only that time, but then going throughout the day and throughout the evening, taking advantage of opportunities. Some of you woke up during the night last night. I can't tell that by looking at you because you're asleep right now or your eyes are bloodshot. But I just know. I know life. Some of you woke up during the night, you couldn't get back to sleep. You counted all the sheep there were and you still couldn't get back to sleep. You know, God might wake you up at night to think on His Word. What did you read about in your devotions the day before in your quiet time? What is something that stuck out? What's a verse that you memorized? Think about it. Meditate on it. Take it apart. Chew it up. Every word, go through every word in that verse as you lay there. Maybe you're driving down the road and you're able to concentrate enough to drive that you don't need to think about every little thing. My wife's saying, don't let him preach that. Pay attention to that road. All right. Meditate. Okay, at the stoplight. At the stoplight. Meditating on the Scripture. Maybe you got an index card. You wrote a verse down. You wrote a passage down that meant something to you, that stuck out to you. And you write it down and you got it in your pocket, you got it beside you on the seat, you pull it out, you're at work, you get a break, You go get something to drink and something to eat, and you pull out your verse and you meditate. You think on that all during the day and all during the evening. I'd encourage you to make a wish list. You know, Christmas is coming up. That's not the kind of wish list I want you to make. Make a wish list of verses that you wish you had memorized, okay? A list of verses you wish you had memorized. And then take that wish list and start working on it, all right? Get that list. What verses in the Bible do I wish I knew by heart? Because when I'm driving down the road, I can't read the Bible. And when I wake up at night, I can't see. It's dark, and I can't read the Bible maybe, or whatever you're wanting. I'm at work, and I have an opportunity to meditate, but I don't know the verse. Get you a wish list. Put some verses on. Here's the verses I want to memorize. Start on that list and start working through it. And then you can meditate anywhere. Get an accountability partner. Somebody who will keep you accountable. Have you learned that verse that you told me that you wanted to learn? I'm not coming to tell you what to do. Go to that accountability partner. Or let them come to you and say, have you learned that verse? Have you meditated on that verse this week? Studying the Word of God, reading the Word of God, motivated by the knowledge of what the Word can do in our lives. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. You want your faith to grow? Learn the Word of God and meditate on it. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, Ephesians 6:17. You want to have victory over Satan in battle spiritually? Know the Word of God. You want to be fruitful in your spiritual life? Mark 4:20. The Word of God is that seed sown on the good ground of the heart, and we hear the Word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Some 100 times of what was sown. The Word of God. You need sustenance spiritually? You feel like you're barely hanging on? You're not growing? The Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, the Lord Jesus said, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You want to grow spiritually? You want to be strong spiritually? Desire the pure milk of the Word that you can grow by it. You need comfort? We read in Romans 15:4, the comfort of the Scriptures gives us hope. You need wisdom? The Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The Word of God has so much effectiveness in our lives if we're in the Word of God and the Word of God is in us. Taking the Word of God, taking it seriously, talking about it, thinking about it, meditating on it, picking it apart, studying it, reading through the Bible, reading through a book of the Bible, studying different ways to approach the Scripture as far as whether you read it or study it or meditate on devotional-wise, all of those bringing them together. But then it needs to be lived out in our lives. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Knowing the Word of God, all of it, focusing on it, letting it have a more prominent place in the way that I live my life. Not just knowing the Word of God, but applying the Word of God. And finally, we're going to close this morning with this thought of being strong and courageous because of God's promise. So we see that we need to be strong and courageous for God's purpose. God has got something He wants you to do. Part of that is possessing those possessions, taking those blessings. He tells you that you need to do that according to the pattern of His Word. And now He says you can do that because of the promise. Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? That's the third time He says that. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. The Lord, in essence, says to Joshua, here's why you can be strong and courageous. Here's why you can be committed, why you can be bold, why you can stand firm in the midst of all of the enemies, all of the opposition, all of the obstacles, everything that comes against you, to turn your attention to the material and the physical, to turn your attention away from the spiritual and eternal. I'm with you. I promise that. That is what God promises to do. He commands us to be strong and courageous, and he wouldn't command you to do that if he wasn't going to enable you to do it. And he says, I promise to be with you. He'd made that promise back in verse 4, or verse 5 rather. I'll be with you. I won't fail you. I won't forsake you. Just pause for a moment. Who is with you? Who is this that is saying they're going to be with you? The Lord, your God. The Lord, that's Jehovah, probably capitalized in your Bible, all four letters probably. The Lord, Jehovah, the self-existing one. He needs no one. Totally independent. God needs no one. He's the one that says, I'm going to be with you. I don't need anybody else. I have no shortcomings. I'm not, my existing doesn't depend on anybody else. No, he exists of himself. He is the self-existing one. He is God, the sovereign one. The one who is the divine ruler over all creation. He said, I'm the one that's with you. The one who needs nobody else. The one who exists of himself. I am the one who is there for you. I am the sovereign one. I am over all of creation. And I'm the special one. The Lord, your God. He says it's personal. The Lord, your God, is with you. And if you have received the Lord Jesus as Savior, if you've recognized that I'm a sinner, and I'm separated from God, and I have no hope, I'm on my way to hell, and that's where I deserve to be, but I believe that Jesus, the Son of God, died for me and took my place and shed His blood for my sins, and He rose again, and I receive Him as my Savior. He said, I'll make you a new creation, and I'll be your God, and you can claim Him as your own. The Lord, your God, Joshua was told, will be with you wherever you go. As you go through life seeking to experience those blessings of peace and hope and love and joy and grace and mercy and holiness and righteousness and kindness and on, and you seek to enjoy those blessings that God has given to you, he said, as you go, I'll be with you no matter what you face. And he said, you need to believe me, Joshua. You need to live in the reality of my presence. You're not going to be able to see me, but I'm there. He says that to the believer in Hebrews chapter 13. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper, and therefore I don't need to be afraid. That's what he tells him. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. Why? Because he's with me. He's with me. Don't be dismayed. Don't be disheartened. Don't be discouraged, because he is with me. He promises to be with me, to strengthen me, to help me. He makes that promise. I'll tell you another quick Mark Armfield story. He's not here. He's working today at the fire department, not here to defend himself. A number of years ago, Mark, who's an avid hiker and camper, he and his two sons took myself and one of my sons, and we went out to the Shining Rock Wilderness. And we backpacked out into the wilderness to set up camp by a creek and to spend a couple nights there with our boys and do some things. And the first day, we had a great time. We camped that first night and went first day. And part of what we did that day was hike down the creek. And on the way back the creek, we met this fella. And he had a dog with him. And we got to talk with him and even got to witness to him a little bit, but found out that the guy was somewhat unusual. And he started talking about full moons. And he started talking about wolves. And I think, man, this guy's strange. And then he said, is it all right if I cut through your campsite? Man. So he cut through the campsite, head on back. Well, he gets a little bit away, and all of a sudden we hear the howl of a wolf from this guy. Well, I'm thinking, man, I don't want to be a coward or anything, and I don't know if I'll admit this to Mark, but I'm not real comfortable. This guy's camping up at this creek here somewhere. So I started talking to Mark about it, and he said, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. And I said, well, you got your gun, right? He said, I don't have my gun. I said, Mark, you always have your gun and we need it and you don't have your gun. I can't believe it. You see, I wasn't going to be afraid if Mark had his gun. I was with Mark and he had his gun, but the guy didn't have his gun. Man, we packed up that camp in record time and hiked out of there before the darkness hit. We were just talking about that on our trip. But, I wouldn't have been afraid at all if it had that gun. Because I knew who was with me. But you know what? Mark Armfield's not with me, but the Lord's with me. The Lord's with me. And I'm going to face a lot of enemies and obstacles in trying to really live for Him and enjoy the blessings of God in my life. I'm going to have to face a lot of enemies, a lot of obstacles. But God says, you know what? I'm with you. If you know me, I am the self-existing one. I am the sovereign one. And I'm yours, special to you. Now, what a joy it is to know the Lord Jesus as Savior, to be forgiven of your sins and to have the assurance that He is with me no matter what. No matter what. Nothing's going to change that. But you know, I'm going to be much more effective if I recognize that He's with me. And I believe the promise. God wants you to be successful. God wants you to be prosperous spiritually. Spiritually. That's His desire for you. Get up and go. Be strong and courageous for God's purpose in your life, according to God's pattern in His Word, and because of God's promise to you. It's interesting. We won't take time to look at it because we're out of time, but in Joshua 23, look at it sometime, the first 10 verses. Joshua is looking back over his life. He's 110 years old when he died. He looks back over his life, and he looks back, and you know what he tells the people? He tells them the same thing that God told him in Joshua chapter 1. He can look back and he said, you know, it works. It's real. And if you will apply these principles to your life from the Word of God, you'll see spiritual success and spiritual prosperity. Swerve off, you won't see that. You won't see the blessing spiritually that God has for you. Let's close in prayer. Thank you for your time and attention today. Lord, we praise your name because you are the Lord our God. You are the self-existent one who needs no one. You are the sovereign one of the universe who created all things and sustains all things by the word of your power. Father, you are the one who promises to be with us when we know you personally through the Lord Jesus. Father, if there are some here this morning that don't know you, Father, they're in great peril spiritually. Father, they're on their way to eternity in the lake of fire, separated from you because of sin. And Father, they don't have that promise of you with them here. Lord, help them to cry out to you for mercy and forgiveness based on the death and burial and resurrection of your Son, the Lord Jesus. For those of us who know you, Father, might we be strong and courageous. Father, might we truly enjoy those blessings spiritually that we have in Christ. Father, may they be more important to us than any of the physical, material blessings that we see around us. Father, I pray that you'll do a mighty work in hearts and lives as a result of your word this morning. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.